you're online this morning and you're in your trailers, your RVs, your apartment, your home, you're a group of one, you're a group of more than one. Welcome everybody, and those of you in the auditorium today. Listen, Jen and I, that Jen would be my wife, so Jen and I mostly agree on most things most of the time. Now, if you understand what I'm saying, that means that sometimes we don't agree on some things some of the time. And then she discovers where she was wrong, error of her ways, and then she comes around. I'm just joking about that, of course. But, you know, like sometimes we disagree on stuff. But we are united around the essential commitment, what I would call the essential commitment to love each other until the end, following the example of Jesus Christ himself. Generous in time, generous in our love for one another, generous in bearing with one another. Now, I've taught through the one another injunctions in the Bible before, and this, what we find is that in these one another injunctions are these commands of how we're to live out our lives together. And there's one there, and it applies to our relationships. We have to bear with one another. Now, you know what that means. It means that we basically put up with one another, that we bear with one another. So there are times when I bear with Jen. There are more times, admittedly so, when she has to bear with me. We put up with one another, but we're generous in our time, generous in our love, and generous in carrying out this essential commitment, following the pattern of Jesus to one another and loving each other until the end. One only needs to go to the book of Ephesians. We're going to do that, Ephesians chapter 5 in just a moment, to understand what it means to live generously toward one another. A generous God has called us, you and me, to live generously toward one another as the mission of God moves forward. So let's take a look at it. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And do what? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So walk in love, but walk in this kind of love. As Christ has loved us and gave himself up towards us, was generous towards us, this is how you and I are to walk. Be imitators of him. So I've just kind of summed it up this way. As God has lived generously toward you, live generously toward others. That, of course, begins in our home, our most important relationships on this earth, in our home and our families, our spouses if we're married, or you know, those that we're committed to. And it extends beyond that. Live generously toward one another as Christ has generously lived toward us. We are to set aside lifestyles that include sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, our talk, what Paul refers to as foolish talk. We are to discern what is pleasing to the Lord and then carefully walk in his ways. And I read through that again this morning, this idea of being careful in how we walk. And the first thing that came to my mind is like sometimes we had to step around landmines, right? We kind of are very, very careful in how we walk, being sure that what people are seeing us is this life that we're committed to in Jesus Christ and extending his love through us to others. Be careful how you walk. And when we do, Paul gives four results of being filled with the Spirit. When we act generously towards others, as we have received from the Lord, we are filled with the Spirit, and there are four results I want to share with you as we do. Number one, we communicate with one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Christian hymns exalt the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do this, but you might. If you want to go out when you greet one another here or you greet one another in your homes, do so in a Christian hymn. Look, here's what happens. When we communicate with one another, there's a sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Christian hymns exalt the name of Jesus. How we communicate, how we talk to one another, lift up the name of Jesus. Number two, we communicate with the Lord by singing and making melodies with our hearts. We minister to each other as we lift up the praises of the Lord. Now, I love this. Not all of us either at home or online. Not all of us have an angelic voice. And I'm one of them. And some of you are too. Right? We communicate with the Lord by singing and making. We can't sing like Jason. We can't sing like Gemma. But that's not the point. There's this song that begins to rise up in our heart. And we make melody within our hearts to the Lord. And as we gather together, maybe a small group or maybe a little bit larger group, and we lift our praises to the Lord, it encourages one another. Number three, we give thanks always and for everything to God the Father. It's an attitude change. So we give thanks to God for this day. We give thanks to God for tomorrow. I know what happens sometimes, right? We begin to tune in, and maybe this mandate comes out. We get down. We go like, what are we to be thankful for? Well, we're to be thankful for a lot. We're to give thanks to the Lord for everything, to God the Father. It's a heart change. It's an attitude change. And then number four is a result of being filled with the Spirit, is we're to submit to one another, willingly serving one another. And then this section concludes, the verse number 21, submitting to one another out of a reference, out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I think some of you are thinking like, okay, we're in the book of Exodus, right? Yeah, well, this is just my intro to what we're talking about today. Actually, as we close out this series called Homeschool, A Journey Through Exodus, next week we're in 2 Peter, so you should be diving into 2 Peter next week. But here's the idea. Here's the big idea I want to share with you, and I just want to center on it for just a little bit. Generously united and living out the mission of God every day and every way. We'll say it again because I want us to capture it. Generously what? United and living out the mission of God every day and in every way. I want to unpack this. A couple weeks ago, we talked about God's desire to tabernacle with us and how God pursues a relationship with you and me. We talked about that. And Jesus lives within us now. But what does it mean to live generously in being united in the mission of God? As we kind of close out the book of Exodus, this last chapter where we see the building of the tabernacles, we're not going to talk about the details or even the reason why. I want you to see what happens when people are united together in the mission of God. Exodus chapter 35, we begin to read about the construction of the tabernacle. So let's go there, verses number 4 and 5. I want you to see something. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Now, I'll just stop there for just a second. Because I want you to see, this is the thing. This is what we're to be united in, as the Lord has commanded. And this is how we're going to live this out. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze. Whose contribution is it? It's the Lord's. Now, I'll set your mind at ease for just a moment. I'm not talking about giving today. Everybody said, amen. All right, I heard you. Even online, I heard you. Not talking about giving, not talking about bringing your gold and your silver. There's something I want you to see here. In the next chapter, Bezalel and Oholiab, filled with the Spirit of God, with skill, intelligence, and with knowledge, took oversight of this project with every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to work. So there's this call that goes out. In verse number 10, let every skilled craftsman come and make all the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent, coverings, its hooks, and its frame. So the word goes out, bring all these things in, and this is what we're going to do. Well, something incredible happened as they were united in this mission of God. And we read about it in verses 3 through 7. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses. So they left their task and they came. Here's what they said. look, the people are bringing much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp. Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. They were restrained. They were held back. They were so united around this mission of God, what he had called them to do, that Moses had to stop them. He had to restrain them. Now, let me ask you a question. I think the answer would be 100% no. Have you ever heard a pastor say, don't bring in anymore? We have enough tithe. We have enough offerings. Don't do anymore. Have you ever heard that? Because, like, I never have. And I'm guessing you never have either. But this is what was taking place. People began to be generously united in this mission that God had called them to. And then we jump to the end, Exodus chapter 40. And the work was finished. And as a result of the people being generously united around the mission of God, this is what happened. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all of their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But the cloud was not taken up when they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all of their journeys. You know, you don't read this in the Bible, but I'm going to kind of guess for just a moment, okay, if you let me do that. I kind of think that what happened, at least in the minds of some, was this: I gave to that. I was part of that right there. I contributed. I was part of the skilled workers that did that. This is what happens when we're united in the mission of God, generously united. How did this happen? That's the great question. That's the right question. Was it that the people were so generous? What happened that they had to be restrained? What caused the people to live so generously united in the mission of God? What caused the people to live out this mission so generously in their time and their skill? Was it because they had so much, like, we got extra today, so we're just going to give it? I don't think it was that. I know it wasn't that. Was it because, like, I'm bored today and there's nothing to do and I've done enough projects at home? I don't think it was that either. This generous living toward God, the command that he had given, this is the thing that the Lord had commanded, and toward one another began, guess where? Anybody want to guess? Online in here? It began right here. It began in the heart. The heart. Just listen to some verses from chapter 35 and then one from chapter 36. Chapter 35, verse 5. Whoever is of what? Generous heart. Let him bring the Lord's contribution. Verse 21, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose heart moved him. It was the heart. Verse number 26, all the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill. Verse 29, same chapter, 35, all the men and women, the people of Israel, whose what? Whose heart moved them. Verse 2, chapter 36, every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him. What caused them to be so generously united in the mission of God? It was the heart. It was a heart change. Their hearts were so moved that they had to be restrained, held back from bringing more. This is what happens when we're united in the mission of God. How are we to live? What's it look like? There's a deep passion for God and for the things of the Lord. So much desire to see his mission move forward that nothing will hold us back. Not finances, not skill, not time, nothing. Not people, nothing. Not fear, nothing holds us back from carrying out this mission of God. And so the next question, and the right question, then what is the mission of God for you and for me? Here it is. It's in Matthew chapter 28. We often refer to it as the mandate, right? The great commission is called. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. So what? Do what? Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. I want to talk about what it looks like to generously live out the mission of God. That's our big idea today. Generously united and living out the mission of God every day in every way. If you could just memorize that, I would love you to do that. Generously united and living out the mission of God every day and in every way. This mission of God of going into all of the world to make disciples is what I'm calling today the essential mission of God. This is the essential mission of God. Now, we've heard that word a lot lately, haven't we? Some things are essential and some things are non-essential. You've heard those words. And if they're essential, well, then certain things can happen and you're allowed to do certain things. If that's non-essential, then you're not. Right? It doesn't matter as much. This is the essential mission of God to go into all the world and make disciples. Essential means absolutely necessary. We must live out this command, being generously united in our personal lives, in our community life, here, there, and everywhere. We must not lose focus. We cannot lose focus. But guess what? The enemy, I believe, especially now, is working overtime to try to make that happen. To try to get you to lose focus, to try to get me to lose focus, to try to get us individually to lose focus, to get our eyes off of who Jesus is and this mission to go into all the world and make disciples, to disrupt us in any way that he can. And he's working in you, he's working in me, and he's working in the community of God, and he's working in churches. I'm only going to talk about Gateway today. This is where we are. I pray for every church that teaches the Word of God faithfully, where Jesus is Lord. But we're talking about you and me. We're talking about us today. The enemy is coming in and trying to disrupt you. He's trying to disrupt me. He's trying to disrupt this faith community and take us away from this essential mission of God. We must not lose focus. Something is happening, I believe. IMHO, in my humble opinion, in the church today, that I believe is hindering us from being generously united in this mission of God. I'm seeing more division in the Big C church than I think that I have ever seen before. And we'll talk about that. Because when I'm talking about being generously united, I'm so thankful for your faithful giving. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being generous toward one another. In our opinions, in our thoughts, a lot of those, but united in the mission of God. There is nothing that can take us away from this focus. But I am seeing this happen in the Big C Church today. And we are not exempt. People in this camp and people in this camp. I have a question for you today. Would you just allow me to pastor you today? I hope so, because I have some things I want to share with you today that are on my heart. In my marriage to Jen, if I made the non-essential essential, and I tell you, I probably have done that, things don't go so well. If in any relationship you try to make the non-essential, this is absolutely essential, but it's really not, it's non-essential, things don't go well in those kinds of relationships. If that's how we live, it would be a very difficult relationship to maintain. And when this happens in a marriage, then this beautiful illustration of God's love for you and for me is damaged. And the same is true as we, as a faith community, try to strive to carry out the mission of God when we allow non-essential things to become essential. And that's where we put our energy and that's where we put our focus. I believe that the mission of God is hindered from moving forward. I believe that the enemy comes in and does all he can to divide us and to put us in different camps. And when that happens, when our focus is lost, then the mission of God is hindered. I've said it this way down through the years. If you've been a part of Gateway, maybe that you're new. This is your first Sunday. So this will be the first time you've heard me say this. But I've said it numbers of times before. We have to keep the primary, primary, and the secondary, secondary. We can't let the secondary become primary. We can't let the primary move to secondary. We have to keep the primary, primary, and the secondary, secondary. So I have two buckets here today. I want to try to illustrate this. These are not offering buckets, okay? So this bucket says what? Essential. Okay, that's the essential bucket or primary bucket. So this one, of course, says non-essential or secondary bucket. What is essential? What are the things that we cannot lose focus of no matter what? What's in this essential bucket? I'm going to give you just five things. There are more from the Word of God that would go into here. I want to give you just five things today. Number one, here you go. Jesus is Lord. Essential. That's in that bucket. It can never move here. Jesus is Lord. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus. Essential. Number two, God's word is invaluable. It is always right. It does not fail. Essential bucket. This is why I always say, look, we are committed to a biblical worldview. It's what the Bible says. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, and I've said it time and time again, it doesn't matter if you like it or it doesn't matter if, when the Bible says it's how you resolve issues with one another. That's what we're to commit to. God's word is invaluable. It's always true. It's in the essential bucket. The essential mission of God that I just talked about, the call to be disciples and to make disciples. This is our mandate. This is what we're to focus on. This is what we're to be about. We're not to lose that focus. That's essential. Number four, God's moral code. You're seeing and I'm seeing what's happening in the world today in the area of morality. God's word speaks to these issues. God's moral code is in the essential bucket. And then number five, and like I said, there are others, what we talked about a couple weeks ago, love God, love others. As we carry out the mission of God, we're to love God and we're to love one another. That's essential. It can never be non-essential. It's primary. It can never be moved to the secondary bucket. But what about this bucket? The non-essential. This is where we get all tripped up. And it's happening today. This is where we get tripped up. This is where the church becomes divided. And this is where the enemy lives. This bucket is huge. It contains a lot of things in it. A lot of things are in it. It's our preferences. Our opinions on a lot of things are in this bucket. You'll see that in just a moment. And sometimes what's happened, from my heart, I just want to help us. We have to be so passionate about the mission of God that we can't let things distract us and divide us. Being generously united in the mission of God. I want to be generous towards you and your opinions and your thoughts. But let's don't let them divide us. Let's don't let them take us away from the mission of God. Let's stay focused. Varying opinions and preferences are okay and good as long as they don't dishonor God. understand that. If they don't divide us and take us away from this mission, we have differing opinions, different things in the non-essential bucket, but we're to be united on the primary that Jesus is Lord, and this is what he's called us to do. So I'm going to put some things in the non-essential bucket for you. And I'm going to begin easy, but I'm going to get harder. Are you ready? Non-essential bucket, the color of the carpet. Okay, you don't like brown. So what? I wouldn't put it in my house either, by the way. Okay. Do you know that things like that has divided the church? You know that churches have split over stuff like that? Do you know that? It has. Non-essential stuff. That's just the first one, by the way. Number two, length of service. It's too short and it's too long. Or it's too long. And some of you in the auditorium, you discovered my teaching clock, and so you know exactly when it goes red, like it is right now. See, that service is too short or it's too long. Okay, are you ready for this one? Worship styles. The kind of worship that we prefer. It's okay to have preferences. It's okay. It's okay that churches provide for those preferences, but let's not let it divide us. Let's not let's move us away from the mission of God. Okay, a little bit harder. A few more here. Ready? Clothes. At least we wear them. Amen? But do you know that churches have been divided? And that can divide us? Do you know that shirts, ties, open collar, shorts, whatever. These things can divide us. A little bit harder. Are you ready? Masks. This little piece of cloth. It's divided us. Someone's going to go, what? No. You understand, don't you? We've allowed this to divide us. I hate masks, but I wear it. And I go to the grocery store, I wear it. I'd rather not. But let's don't let it divide us. A little bit harder. Who to vote for? You will not find your candidate's name in the Bible. I don't care how hard you look. What you will find is biblical instruction that will lead you to vote consistent with God's word. You will find that, but you're not going to find the name of anybody in the Bible. But you know what we do? We make those types of things. If you don't vote the way I vote, we just can't do this. Another really hard one. How we respond to current social issues like justice, race, the poor among us, and life, to name a few. I am pro-life. This church is pro-life. We stand on that. But how we live that out can actually be different. And if I demand that you do the things I do, then that's wrong. If you demand that we do what you do to live this out, and that becomes our focus, other than what the Bible says, then that's a problem. It's how we live this out. How we respond. We have a variety of ways that we respond to even biblical issues and what the Bible says. And at the same time, living generously toward one another, being united in the mission of God. I can be generous with you. You can be generous with me in your opinions. We'll let God do the work. But let's be united in the mission of God. We must be careful that we don't unify around the non-essential and demand that others do the same, what can be called our preference bucket. And sometimes we can take biblical essentials and we say, this is how you must respond. And we need to allow each other freedom. And this is where the call to generous unity resides. Allowing an opinion that may differ from yours, allowing God to do the work. Being generously united says, understand that we might have a different preference. God, look, if it's ungodly, I pray God does his work in your heart and in my heart. But we're to be generously united, giving people space, but united in the mission of God. What is the one thing that we're to be united in? Jesus. Jesus. Some of us on our team, we're just reminding one another of that very thing. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. When things are shifting this way or this way, you hear something you don't like or you're getting this tug, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. We're to unite around Jesus. And so we're going to join together in sharing communion. We're going to gather around his table today. And I'm going to pray for us that maybe there's a change in our heart or attitude that Jesus wants to work on. In my heart. In yours. As we again give God thanks for his generosity toward you and me. Jesus, help us to live this out. Help us not to be distracted, I pray, from the mission that you have called us to. Help us, Father, to be united and focused on your call to go into all the world and share the good news of the gospel. God, I thank you for variety. I thank you for different preferences. But God, please help us not to allow the secondary to become primary, or the primary to be secondary, or to move the non-essential to the essential. God, help us, I pray. Help us to live generously toward one another and united in this mission to go and to share the good news of the gospel, the good news of what these symbols represent, your broken body, that we might be made whole in every way. And even as we take the bread this morning, we're thankful because his broken body provides healing in every way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, every need that we have, he has provided for. And so we're going to take the bread, and we're going to pray, Jesus, heal our hearts, I pray. Whatever is needed, Jesus, do your work in your name. Let's take the bread, shall we? And the cup today, we're reminded, God, of your generous love toward us. May we live in such a way, God, that your mission advances in the world today in such a way that people are drawn not to Gateway, not to any person, but Jesus to you in your name. Let's take the cup, shall we? We give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stay the say, my rock, you're everything I'll ever need. You're ever near, so present here, my help, you're everything I'll ever need. Jesus, you're greater than my fear, so come hell or high water, still on the throne, you are faithful and able, you're in control, there's no question about it. Mercy, goodness, I have this confidence. Awesome, mighty, I have this confidence. I know who you are.
So glad all of you are with us today. Join us online, in person. We pray that this week that your eyes will be kept on Jesus. Keep, as one of my friends said, keep the main thing, the main thing. Keep that which is essential in the essential bucket and try to let everything else go. Keep our eyes on Jesus, but most importantly, keep our hearts focused on Him. We hope you have a great week. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks, you guys, for being here live in person. You can come down front and exit out the sides. We'll come see you, talk outside. That'll be great.